Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Get the Belt, home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts, where any motherfucker can get it, okay? So I'm so sorry. Quick apologies. Last week, I didn't put out an episode. I'm very sorry. Things got real in my world, and I ain't get round to it. And you know what? I did say when I came, like, a few months ago, I'm really going to get an episode out every week because. And you know what? I missed one. We move. But to make up for that, I'm joined this week by a very special guest who I actually spoke and met for the first time 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. I can't remember. Time is really ticking. On the Where Are We Now campaign with Dancers Network. And she joined me on a Instagram Live. And it was a pleasure to meet her. And I'm so glad to now have her on my own show, Get the Belt. So everybody, please give it up for Sharifa J. Welcome to the show, sis.
Woo, thank you for having me. What an entrance. Oh my gosh, I have to live up to that amazing introduction now. Yes. Hello, hi everyone who's listening.
Well, I didn't even properly introduce you. So you are a model, presenter, and mental health activist. We had a little conversation before where I was like, you know, let me just let you know, is there things that you don't want me to talk about? Because I don't like to put people in awkward situations. Because I've had that on the show before where I didn't do it. And I spoke to a man about the topic of the show was something and it led to being DL. And I let the listeners know my feelings on the DL man. And I feel like for some reason, I'm not going to say why, but for some reason, that episode didn't make it to the airwaves because there were just some things that he didn't want to be put out there in terms of being DL and
the things I was saying. I love how you're trying not to say what the thing is.
Listen.
I really want to know what it is.
It was a bit mad.
Everyone who's listening right now is going to be going, what was the thing?
Yes.
Tell us.
Well. But yeah, so I've given you a brief introduction, all the things. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And like your work-wise, that was it. I had a conversation with you to say like, oh, what is off limits? And one of the things that you said, which I was like, oh my God, we need to speak about that, was you were like, do not call me an influencer. I am, that's not my pronoun.
Yes.
Okay, why was that? Because I've had this and heard this a lot.
Okay, so I think influencers, traditionally, they get a really bad rap. And I think, okay, when you think of an influencer, what do you picture? I know that I picture a relatively slim, extremely white woman with blonde hair, loads of clothes, all
a Chanel bag.
A Chanel bag. Or she doesn't even have a Chanel bag. She just buys a Chanel bag with benefits and takes pictures of it to look like she's got a Chanel bag, which is nothing wrong. You know what? Live your best life.
Sitting outside of Harry's. Is it Harry's outside of Selfridges? Not Selfridges, Harrods.
Yes, exactly right. Nothing wrong with that. But I guess the idea of an influencer has always been this hugely like capitalistic kind of idea of a person that's just trying to sell you everything under the sun, sell this fake dream life. I think it's typically, again, you know, nothing against white women, of course, I'm half white. My family's white. But it's a very kind of like white kind of privilege idea. I believe it seems like a very kind of like white privilege idea. Think about all the big, top influences of the OGs. Like, in my head, like, those people that pop to mind, like Paris Hilton and, you know, like the proper, like, yeah, she's like the original influencer, isn't she, Paris Hilton? But, you know, it's all about the selfie and the filter and the, and I just don't, I feel like I'm everything but that. Like, I think I'm everything but the selfie. I'm everything but the filter.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I do take a selfie every once in a while. But that's really not why I exist on this earth. And it's definitely not why I exist in the online space. So I think that the term influencer just doesn't really suit me.
Mm. Especially after that whole situation, that one influencer that was, you know, on, doing quote unquote fitness. When she went to Dubai in the lockdown or whatever.
Don't get me
that
started
is when
Dubai.
I really that is when I really said, oh, now people ain't here for the influencers as much as they were.
exactly. And you know what, I'll tell you, I'm an influencer and I sat home for the best part of a year like everybody else, locked away, crying myself to sleep or not being able to get to sleep, eating too much, losing income, feeling stressed, catching coronavirus, shit. All the things. And so
you caught the 19.
I caught the Rona. Yeah.
You caught the whole 19. Of course, did you lose your smell and taste?
I did. I really did. Oh. You know, so I guess like being lumped into a category with those people who are jetting off to Dubai and living their best lives when
wasn't
I feel
really relatively your experience.
It doesn't really reflect me. Like, I kind of just feel like I am, yes, I have a blue tick. Yes, I have, you know, a few followers in, you know, which to most people probably seem like a lot of followers. In the world of influencing, I have very few followers. You know, I've only got 28,000 followers, which is nothing in the influencer space. You know, most people,
some girls out here 500k,
500k, a million, 2 million, like that's wow. the mega. You know, lots of my friends are on the 300,000 dots, the 120,000. I'm their little Sharifa with the little micro following, and you know, but I'm happy with that. I don't need any more than that. I like my little community, and I think we do some important stuff like over on my page, and I appreciate that. So yeah, I think it just doesn't reflect me.
Yeah.
So. Unless they start changing what influencer means, I don't want to be called an influencer.
But I feel like you girls is doing that though. Like I said, like before we jumped on here, like my cousin's an influencer, quote unquote. You know, we got girls like Stephanie Yeboah, influencer.
Love.
Even
Stephanie.
Melissa's Wardrobe, influencer. So we've got some black girls out here actually doing some real nice things and not just taking pictures of food and Chanel bags. Like,
and you know,
yourself, mental health activist, you do a lot for the plus size community, like Stephanie. My cousin does the same. Like, that you guys are changing what it means to be that. It's just that you're not represented enough. But that's not even this. That's not even what this podcast is about.
And I think what's really funny is that I said this to you when you introduced me to your cousin, and I said, you know, see, like, she's very much a fashion influencer, isn't she?
Yes,
I guess
fashion.
She is doing that kind of
lifestyle.
Lifestyle fashion, and she is probably encouraging people to buy clothes and stuff, which typically would irritate me on a lot of platforms, but it didn't irritate me on her platform. And I think it is just because seeing black women and black people occupying these spaces, as I said to you, just hits differently, and it makes it feel like
accessible.
Buy that.
Yeah.
And I'll buy it. Like, if a black woman or a brown woman or a marginalized, underrepresented group is selling it to me, I'll buy it because, you know, thank God they're getting paid and thank God they're getting money. So I guess that's what separates it for me. It's not that I don't want the white community to prosper and do well. I think
they prosper regardless.
Exactly.
They're going to prosper regardless.
It's that they have been prospering and they will prosper. And good for them, but let's make some space. So I think probably it's not so much about the capitalism. It's about who's holding that space. And
also my cousin's definitely, you know, she's my cousin, so we share the same genes. We both share that Ude gene, which is our Nigerian blood, and in the Ude gene it comes with thick thighs, hips and ass. So for all the plus girls out here, if you need some clothes to fit around that big booty, Yeah, head over to her because her hips do not lie. She's very much got the Uday gene and the clothes is banging.
Do you know what's funny? I did an ancestry DNA test and I had grown up believing that I was Jamaican, but I don't know my dad or any of my family really. And I did an ancestry DNA test and it turns out that I'm also Ghanaian.
But, are you Ghanaian? Come on, West Africa.
Well, I'm confused, to be honest, because it tells me I'm lots of different things, but none of them are Caribbean, just African.
Wow.
So yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for a different day. But ancestry DNA, definitely recommend it to anyone.
100%. But then again, also, depending on like the way they're like giving you the information of like those countries, it could very much well be that you are, was it Jamaican?
Apparently.
But obviously, Jamaicans were taken to the island of Jamaica by slave traders to work the plantations from West Africa. So you could still very much be Jamaican, but you know the lineage or those specific Jamaicans were taken from Ghana.
Yeah, very true.
But once again, we all different came from podcast. Africa
anyway,
we all do, even the white folk.
Yeah. Anyway, so, I digress.
Yeah. So obviously I've invited you on this week and it's a really interesting story. Actually, I'm going to share it. So we met on the Where Are We Now podcast, on one of the Instagram lives, and we got on like house on fire. You know, we did the following thing, little talks here and there. And then obviously I saw in the conversation, you told me, oh, you know, very much here, LGBTQ community. Yes, that's me. Raised by lesbians. I said, yes, God, I don't know a bitch, let alone a mixed race girl that has been raised by a lesbian. Like, let me get to know how this girl operates on a day to day. Like, what's the tea? And then I see on your Instagram that you also got the LGBTQ DL flag. And I like to include the DLs because they very much are part of this community, whether they say it with their chest or in a back alley. They very much part of this industry, cause lots of heartbreak. But for real, you have the rainbow flag. So can you tell us your pronouns and how you identify sexually as well? Cause this is Pride Month. This is why you're here.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I identify as she, her, and my sexuality is heterosexual. Although I do think that people often think that I identify as something else. And to be honest, it's been so long since I did anything
since
heterosexual.
Since what?
That I'm even not sure.
Oh, anymore. You've really been isolating.
I've been isolating. Do you know what? Am I the only person that followed the rules?
Yes.
Yes, I know this, right? I feel like such an idiot.
Mate,
because
Uber,
when I hear the stories of what everyone has been up to during this lockdown.
Uber and Bolt.
How many vibrators I purchased this year? A lot. Oh.
I mean,
you have to have different ones for different things. Anyway, and there's a lot of options. I'm straight, she, her, but I think for me, like the LGBT, particularly Pride Month, but just in general, like the inclusivity of LGBTQIA+, is that what it is now? Because I think
LGBTQDL.
DL?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was QIA+.
No, it's DL as well.
Okay, right. Yeah. So LGBTQ.
DL.
DL.
Plus.
IA.
And IA, yes. which is the IAs? I don't know. I know the DLs. I don't know who the IAs is.
I think it was
But sometimes I just be calling us the alphabet zoo, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just going to say LGBTQDL+.
Yes, girl, that is the one. That's the way forward.
Perfect. So I need to change that on my Instagram.
Yes, please.
Do you know what? I have to say, and I think probably a lot of people could relate to this. I think it's incredibly difficult to keep up. Even when you are, even if you're in a community,
it is
difficult to keep up. Like,
it's a lot.
If I called myself mixed race once and someone said, you can't say that. You have to say biracial. First of all, call myself what I want. Secondly,
facts.
I literally, like, oh, I said BAME once, which I don't actually really say, but I said BAME once and I got a thing for that. And I was like, but hold on a second. Like, first of all, I'm part of that community.
Yeah.
And second of all, like you can't. We live in a highly censored. It's interesting because we live in a highly censored world. Yet there
it's so explicit.
Is more. There's more trolling and and cancel culture and shaming than I think ever before. But yet we live in this highly PC world, which I think is important, and we need a lot of these terms for good reasons.
Yeah.
For example, pronouns. Like, I am so glad to see these pronouns being brought in, particularly on Instagram.
When I saw that, I said, yep, straight away.
100%. And people, to be honest, they still don't get it. And I can feel that. I can feel that from conversations I have. I can see that, feel that with some of my family members who won't listen to this podcast because they don't really exist in online spaces. So
that's good, because my family, I don't like it when they be listening to here, because I'd be talking about his dicks, I'd be sucking the syphilis, I'd be caught another. I'm like, no, Nan. No, auntie, please don't share this. Don't listen to it. Please scroll past on my story.
So, yeah. So, you know, absolutely no shade to my family. But I think we all, you know, you can't agree on everything. And I grew up in a very white town in a very white family. Mm. And you know, even though there was a lot of inclusivity in terms of my mum being a lesbian, there was also, we grew up in a town that didn't like that and didn't want to see a lesbian mum raising.
And they were two white women, right?
Two white women who
were lesbians with a whole mixed race black girl.
With two little brown kids in a town where people would literally throw rocks at you. Like,
I shouldn't laugh. But that would make a great, like, series. I would watch that, because I bet there was things and shenanigans.
There was a lot
every day.
There was a lot shenanigans always, and I actually experienced a lot of racism. I'd probably say, racism, and you know, I'd get called a lesbian at school because my mum was a lesbian, but it was violent, and it was, you know, I have physical scars on my body from the violence that I received growing up in Norwich as a little brown kid with a lesbian mum. And so, just going back to circling back to the LGBT, oh my God, LGBT, DI plus.
QDL.
QDL plus, sorry. To anyone listening to this, I hope you don't get offended, because I did just learn this information now, and I'm going to have to write it down and commit it to memory. So for me, like, I grew up seeing two women kissing, and I grew up with my first best friend, like, from when I was a teenager, was a gay guy, and he came out to me, and I threw him a penis party. He's coming out.
Come
party.
On, penis party,
right? Yeah, he had everything. Ooh. We had dick straws. We had dick chairs.
Oh,
I don't want to talk about those. I
did dick chairs. I mean, did you sit on them?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We had dick. We had dick hats. We had dick cake. We had everything.
Love it.
Dick. And you
so
know.
So I'm presuming that he was a bottom then.
I think so.
Because it wouldn't ask.
So, you know, for me, I grew up feeling like there was no other. Like, it was just that it was so normal to me. So when I started to learn about people saying, "Ooh, gay people, what is that?" And that's, you know, I'm like, what? Like, you're crazy. Like, for me, there is no option to not be involved in Pride and not be involved in LGBT, because it's part of my life, like, it's part of my family.
Yeah.
And I would always support and stand up for them and everyone in that community, because I just truly believe in inclusivity across the board.
Love to see it. And before we get on to the, you know, the actual show, I do want to say, there's probably some homophobic people, and some, maybe the DLs listen to this, but like, Sharifa is literally a walking example to the contradiction. She's a walking example of the contradiction to your argument that is, if you force this on us, or you grow up around seeing gay shit, that you're going to be gay. Our girl just told you, yeah, her whole mum and mum were lesbians. Her best friend, gay. A penis party.
Two best friends. One other friend who was a lesbian.
Surrounded by all of this gay shit. And our girls, how young are you?
How young? Well, when I started to make friends who were gay?
Like, how young are you today? Because I don't like to say
how old are you.
Okay, right, how young are you today?
Oh, my God. I am
if you don't mind me asking.
29 years young, almost 30.
So for almost 30 years of all this gay shit from birth, and the girl's still saying she heterosexual. So all of this throwing it down our throats. Sharifa's had 30 years of gay shit. And despite not having had a bit of dick in a while because the pandemic, she's still very much is a straight girl. So all of this, oh my God, don't show it on TV because otherwise my child's going to be gay. Wrong.
And also, I was raised in the gay clubs. Let me tell you something. I would get on the train from Norwich at age 14. Yeah.
14 in the clubs?
Yeah. Oh my God. 14 in the clubs.
You've lived a life, babe.
I lived a life. By the time I was 15, I'm telling you, I had tried everything. So I'd get on the train, me and my friend Ollie, who was my gay friend who actually just came out when he was 15. And we'd get on the train and we'd go to heaven.
Yeah.
The night of heaven in London. Yeah. We'd get in the queue. We'd take our fake IDs, but we didn't even need them because we made friends. So we'd jump the queue, made friends with all the bouncers, and we would party until the dawn.
Listen.
We'd make friends. We'd get on the train. Go to McDonald's, obviously.
I was literally just going to say, did you get to McDonald's after those facts?
Of course. You have
facts.
To. Because it's right next door. And then we get on the train back to Norwich, and that was it. And school was on Monday.
Nah, I cannot.
I was
that is
raised
so
in
jerk.
The gay clubs. I love
and
that.
And in the whole 2021, still a straight woman. So you guys, fuck off with that, with your nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we continue any more of this amazing pride conversation, we're going to save some of that for later. Let's crack on with the show as we do with every single episode and give you this week's word of the week. So in true Get the Belt style, we always have our special guest come on and give us that word. So what is your word of the week this week, Sharifa?
Okay, so my word of the week, I think, would be Ubuntu. I've been thinking about this word a lot, actually. Ubuntu. Oh, God, I can't spell. Hold on. Ubuntu, I think it's spelled. Ubuntu. It's a well-known African word, African saying.
Yeah.
And Ubuntu, I can tell you the story a little bit.
Come on.
So, okay, you have to picture this. I'm not the best storyteller, but let's try. So there's a class of children and there's a teacher. And the teacher says to the children, I'm going to put this basket of fruit underneath a tree. And whoever can run to it the fastest gets to take the fruit, keep it and do whatever they want with it, eat it, whatever. And as the teacher shouts, go, all the children hold hands and they run together.
Why did I just get goosebumps?
So they run together to the tree and they all collect the basket and together they share the fruit. And this is the teacher says to the children, why did you do that? And one of the kids says, well, how can I be happy if the rest of us are sad? How can I have all the fruit if everyone doesn't have fruit? There's enough for everyone, so share it. And I think this is actually kind of my since I learned this a couple of years ago, I think about it often, and I think I might actually get it tattooed on my 30th birthday.
Aww.
That might be my little thing. I'm trying to figure out where to put it because I'm a model, so not
very,
really
very
advisable to get too many tattoos. It's not helpful. But I'm thinking about getting it tattooed because, for me, this year has highlighted a lot of things. But one big thing is that we have to have this approach when it comes to community and when it comes to keeping each other afloat, keeping each other alive. And we have to have a more Ubuntu way about us as a society, because all that happens, you look around the world and there's devastation and destruction and death and war and so much pain. But amongst that, you have so much beauty as well. Mm. But we don't need to see so much of the things happening around the world that do happen. And, you know, I know I'm sounding a little bit Miss World here. My little
Miss World
speech. But, you know, world peace and all of that. But I just really believe we can apply this in every aspect of our life. Just compassion and empathy and kindness and understanding. And just because something may not seem important to you doesn't mean it doesn't matter to someone else. And so I think we've seen this happen, you know, even just the smallest things, like the food choices that you make, the choices that you, the way you consume, the type of what you write on the internet, how you treat somebody at work. Like, we're all one. We all exist as a collective. So that would be my word of the week, Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. I love that. I really love that. And like you said, you can apply it in every day, be it what you eat, what you wear, but, you know, also in work. Straight away in my mind it came to work, and I'm reflecting again on the founders of Dancers Network. And, you know, basically Kieran and other members of the team were very much, without even knowing, operating in a very Ubuntu way, and, you know, were offering me shit they didn't need to offer, that like outside of the project we were doing, and connecting me to someone, and then said, Miles, message this person to do this. And I'm thinking, I just came here to produce and just host your little gig, and you're opening doors and bringing me and taking me places that we weren't even going. And that is amazing. And that sense of community and that sense of Ubuntu is stunning. And like you said earlier on about, you know, representation, when you think of, you know, an influencer, you might think this white girl, but we can very much get there. We're already having to struggle as, like, you know, as black mixed ethnic people. But again, not just in the, you know, entertainment industry or whatnot, but just any field, have that Ubuntu way. You know, we'll complain about, oh, but the heads, they're all white at the heads. Well, when you get your promotion, word of the week, Ubuntu, think of the brother or the sister, and not just, you know, they don't have to just be black, because sometimes some black people move mad as well. We need to acknowledge
Thank
that.
Thank you for pointing that out, you know.
No, because it's not every, not, and not that all is a very excellence important. Is black.
That okay. is a thank you very much. That is a not very all, important.
And I let that be known on this podcast as well. It's very much for the community, but to be for someone, you don't have to all just be praising. Sometimes I cuss out your blood clots too. But just bring in your people, and not even just your people, but, like, you know, it's Pride Month, and not just in Pride Month, but just bring in more people. Have that sense of Ubuntu. I'm here for it. I love that. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you loved it. I love it too.
I did. And the fact to get it tattooed, lovely.
I might. Haven't quite decided.
I think
but
you
probably.
Should, like, but somewhere like real discreet, like need discreet, like the DLs.
Where would it be though? I
don't know. Could you do a little finger? Like,
I was
would
thinking
you do a
that.
Finger, like around maybe. So if you put a ring, it covers it, or like on the inside, or I don't know.
Thinking that.
But anyway, thank you so much for that word of the week. Thank that was stunning. You. So let's kick off the next part of the show, Melanin Magnificence. So who does your Melanin Magnificence go to this week?
Oh, can I have two?
Yes, girl, because I got four.
Okay, so I think my first one would be Nimco Ali.
Oh, who's that?
Nimco Ali is amazing. She is a campaigner. She's an author. She's just this incredibly smart woman who is so powerful and strong. And she is a campaigner for FGM, female genital mutilation.
And oh, okay.
Her book is about that. And she opens up that conversation to help, you know, young girls and women, you know, in that situation. And I just think it's a really important conversation. And I think she is one of those people, you know, when you think, like, if I had all the followers in the world, who would I give all the followers to? I would give it
look
to
look at
people,
you like, Ubuntuing every day. We love to see
Ubuntuing a million for you. Like, Oprah, you get a car. You get a car. You get a car. Yeah, so she's wonderful. So I'd definitely be Nimco. And I think the second person would be someone I've connected with this year a lot, but only on Instagram. We haven't officially met in real life, but we've really connected hard on Instagram. And that's Porna Bell. She is incredible. She is, she's an author.
Yeah.
She is a journalist. She's the previous editor of editor of Huffington Post in the UK.
Okay.
And worked with Arianna Huffington. And she, her recent book actually is talking all about strength and women's strength, but also being a woman of color in like fitness spaces. And she's just amazing. Like, she's just really inspirational, and she's 40 and fabulous. You know, when someone's just like redefining what you would even
associate to be a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, and it's kind of awful that we even have these views, but I think they're so embedded into us, isn't it? Like, 30 means this, and 25 means this, and 40 means this, and 50 means that, you know. But
I mean, growing up, I thought 30s was middle age, but not anymore, because that's me.
I know.
I thought they're 30, they're middle age.
Life left in me, please. It's not time to go yet.
Oh God.
So she's just fucking fantastic. Like, she just she's just so like interesting and interested and like thought provoking kind of person. So I just love her. Yeah, Porna. I'm her biggest fan. And I was lucky enough to host her book launch of the book Stronger, and I was so honored when she asked me to do it. I literally nearly cried. She was like, would you possibly be available? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I will be available.
If that was the day I was dead, I'll cancel my funeral. I'll be there. So yeah, she's amazing.
Wicked. My melanin magnificence also goes to four black and mixed women. And their names are Maisie Bowden, Gabrielle Brooks, Danielle Casarate, and Jade Samuels. Now, side note, I actually went to school with Danielle Casarate. She was 2 years above me in the Brit School doing musical theatre. Big up you, sis, very proud. These four women are now the first ever all-black, all-female Shakespeare company ever to be in the UK.
Wow.
Ever.
That snaps right there.
So when I saw that, I said, these four women deserve melanin magnificence, because I know they've all been working in their own right. You know, Danielle did musical theatre. I've seen Maisie perform once in a show at, I can't remember, it was years ago. Her voice is insane. And then the other two, you don't just happen to be in a Shakespeare company, let alone an all black, all female Shakespeare company by chance. You don't just stumble and fall into that. So this is being leaded by the Mawa Theatre Company, and they said on their Instagram that they're a company representing black and mixed race women of the diaspora, and they're ready to, you know, redress the imbalance within the theatre industry and be a beacon for black female creativity and an agency for change. I saw that and I said, I do not like, will never attend, will not buy a ticket to a Shakespeare play. I find it boring. I understand the art behind it. I get, you know, that the tempo and every line is written with, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I get that it's a skill. It's a skill, but bitch, I'm bored. Okay, I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm thinking too much. I just want to enjoy, not my cup of tea. But you give me four black mixed race women doing, you know, this stereotypically white ass shit. I'm there with my mates and we're going to have a good old time.
100%.
And I can just imagine how different, because I've seen Shakespeare in the past when it was by force. Since I've had a choice, it's not happened since. But I will very much be going, and I'm so interested to see how the audience reacts and the vibe of the room, because there's always a vibe when you go. So maybe just the cinema. And like, even like, I don't know if you know when Girls Trip came out, I made the decision to go to the blackest cinema I could go to. So I went, I took myself to Stratford and the vibe in the theatre or the cinema, sorry, was just so dope. So it would be so interesting to see how and what they do to to theatre and Shakespeare. So, yeah, congratulations on being, you know, the UK's first ever all black, all female. That is definitely a crown on your head. And I know that with a crown comes the, what's the saying? The heavy is the crown on the person, whatever.
I never heard
Basically, there's so much responsibility with what you're doing. So
yeah,
you're all going to slay. I'm extremely proud. And as soon as you got a show, me and Sharif are coming.
That's it. And just even to be in those spaces, like, I think it just, we, everything in our English speaking Western world has historically been so whitewashed, you know. Even if I don't know the history, to be honest, of the Shakespeare times, I don't even know if it was
fair.
Honestly, I have no idea. I just know about the skull and the to be, if not to be, whatever.
Romeo and Juliet.
But I would probably imagine there would have been some black people around.
Oh, there was, yeah.
I feel like everywhere in every space, we were there, very much there. And what happened is, as of course, with everything, literature and history and everything, we were just washed away in the whitewashing. And so now, and I could be completely wrong, so all the historians are going to come at me with pitchforks and be like, you're wrong. But I would just imagine, based on everything else, that they've probably whitewashed us out. So it's great to just come back in.
What I would love if one day we, you know, something came up and it was just like, oh, Shakespeare was a Rasta. Imagine.
I honestly think people would be turning in their graves.
Oh, they would. Wicked. So let's get on with the show. Now, normally Miles Measures would be quite long, but I'm cutting it short because I want to have a more in-depth conversation later on about Pride. It's Pride Month. And, you know, seeing as we've got a heterosexual woman here, we're going to talk about being an ally and things of that nature. Yes. So let's move into Miles Measures. Like I said, I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So Leanne, what's it? Leanne Pinnock and Andrew Gray, I think his name, they had an engagement ring stolen. Apparently the engagement ring was 40,000. Quick question. Do you need your ring if you ever get married? If you want to get married, do you have like a set price on it? Because some people be like, it needs to be 5,000. It needs to be 10, at least 10.
I honestly just to be in a relationship with also, anyone
also,
who is half decent, who's not my vibrator, then I would be happy.
Please, you're not my fleshlight.
Just needs a heartbeat. That's it.
Yeah. So do you need it to be diamond?
No.
Because that's one thing I've got to say. I would need at least a diamond. It ain't got to be really? No 5,000, 10,000. But, you know, it's a precious little stone. And I can be, despite me being a part of the LGBTQ DL community, and so many of them be like, oh, the heteronormatives and oh, marriage and oh, no, and oh, monogamy and oh, you know what? I love me some tradition, not all of it, but I love me some traditional shit. And give me a little ring. Unless a little ring with a one tiny little cheap ass, not too cheap, but a little cheap ass diamond.
And by and cheap, it means £50,000. Of course.
No, I don't even need to know the price. As long as it's not cubic zirconia.
And yeah, as long as it's no less than £25,000.
No, you know what? I don't even know how much a diamond is. That's the gag.
I think it's a lot. Do you know what? Your absolute, how do we say it? Hot take? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion. Hot take. I don't really believe in marriage.
You don't. It's not unpopular. People be saying this all the time.
I'm not really about
especially
it.
Especially in the LGBTQ.
You know what? It's expensive. It's.
Well, my cousin got married about 2 weeks ago. We saw next day on WhatsApp in the group. I don't think it was too expensive on their end.
See, that's a
congratulations,
good
Heather.
Bring back the virtual wedding. But yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's. I understand sentiment. I think probably because I'm traditionally such a cynic. I've been single for 8 years. So because I've been single for 8 years, I know it's a lot.
But you're successful. You're beautiful. You got a good body, babes. You jiggle in all the good places that, you know, these scrape
that's
men love to see a woman
problem.
Jiggle. What do you mean? They love that shit.
No, they don't. Honestly,
yeah, they do. They're not here for skinny bitches anymore.
This could be a whole problem in itself. This could be a whole podcast in itself. But I don't think that the men of today are really enjoying women who are independent and focused, and they know what they want. And, you know, like, they just, I don't think they know what to do with women like
yeah,
that.
Do you know what? I can see where you're coming from there, because, you know, our generation is where that generation took a shift and women really started, you know, sisters are doing it for themselves. And this is really the time they are out here really doing it. And I feel like the men, even though they were raised, you know, hearing you can be whatever you want to be, it was very much early stages of the manifestation of that. Whereas today, the girls that were told that in primary school back in our day are now in their 30s and on their bag and actually don't need you dragging them back. And I feel like it's got men a bit shook. Like, they heard it growing up. Like, oh, yeah.
He's provided it.
And now they're a bit like, oh, you actually... Oh, so you actually went out and got a job by yourself and you're doing
and
well
actually,
in your... You actually could buy a house by yourself.
Don't need me. Exactly. And
you also have three vibrators.
And
so...
What am I here for? No, but in one respect, look, I feel as I'm an extremely passionate person, and I really feel that it's actually quite a difficult period for men, because men have always known what to
bless
do.
Bless them.
They've always known how to, they pull out the chair, they pay for the dinner. You know, men have always known what to do. Their role in courting has been really simple. But now, with the rise of feminists and, you know, things ever changing, and we're moving into...
Girls are now pulling out their nigger seat.
Yeah, a more non-binary world. I think there's a lot of confusion. So I think it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for the hetero men.
For once, I feel a little bit sorry for the straight men.
I do.
Just a tiny bit.
You know, but actually, getting serious, I do feel that there are a lot of men's issues that are not discussed. And I think because, okay, we all know about the patriarchy. We all know that there are so many groups beneath white men who have been oppressed and traumatized and tortured. We know it because we've been part of it, right? But it doesn't go to say that that men don't have their difficulties too. And, you know, being an ambassador of the male suicide prevention charity Calm, which is mostly geared towards men, and learning the statistics and knowing that suicide is the biggest killer of men under the age of 45 in the UK, kind of goes to show that this toxic masculinity, this patriarchy, it actually doesn't serve all of these men, because we then see that they can't have discussions. We then see the death by suicide. You know, these are very serious issues that, because of this online culture, this cancel culture of one group has to rise up above another, we end up with this imbalance, this shift, this power balance where people feel like they can't talk. And then what happens is, very sadly, people die. That is really what happens when conversation is not had and groups are certain people and groups are made to feel pushed out and that they can't exist in a society, then people die. And so, you know, and that sounds really dramatic. Someone listening
but
to
it's me. Facts,
probably,
though.
But, you know.
But it's facts. The suicide rate. I was listening to a podcast the other day and it was something about, you know, we live in a world where we've got all this information. We know all of these things and life expectancy has shot up. But actually, for the first time in years and years, decades, I think he said, despite life expectancy going up, actual death rates have started to drop. And that is because of suicide.
And I believe that. I don't know the statistics fully, and they're quite difficult, like, to get hold of. Even working with a mental health charity, I'm always like, can you talk to me about the current suicide rates during the pandemic? And they're not actually able to, because they don't have the numbers, because the numbers are so difficult to actually, it's hard to measure. And it's hard to measure why people die by suicide. You know, we've turned to quite a dark topic. You were having a great time laughing there, but I've turned it to something more serious. As
well,
I always
Yeah.
But you know, I think that, yeah, the conversation is really important to be had. And I forget where I was going with that. So I'll just let you get on to your next topic. But yeah.
How did I can't even remember how we got into this.
My diamond.
That was it. Wedding
diamond.
Ring. Yeah, the
my
diamond.
Diamond.
Oh my God, all because of Leanne and Andrew.
I don't feel like, okay, if I was to get me something for $2,000, I think I'd be happy with that. But I don't
even if it was a thousand, as long as it's real diamond and you ain't steal it, then and it wasn't from someone else that you was gonna get, it needs to be bought for me in mind when you made the purchase.
Ethically sourced, so we know that there was no blood involved in these diamonds, and something that is going to hold its value, because I'm an investor.
Well, that's what I mean.
Person.
A diamond does.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
All of that discussion about all the things we just spoke about to say that their engagement ring was stolen, and then they had to buy it back from a pawn shop. So what great conversation!
Oh, no.
I know. Would you buy it back? I'd be like, bruv, are you joking?
No.
I mean, they got the money to be like,
that shop.
I mean, I'm guessing they got the money to be like, oh, whatever. But even if I had the money, that was mine. It was stolen. No.
Yeah, of course.
It's not. I got the receipt.
Understand. Why didn't they just call the police?
I think they did, but then
the police found it and put it in the
who knows. In other news, Oxford University students have voted to remove a colonial portrait of the Queen. Thoughts?
Oh, what did she do this time?
Exist, hun. I mean, like, it was an old picture where she's, you know, shoulders are out, very much that, very much who run the world, me, using slavery and all of those things. and you know, the girls down in Oxford University said no, hell no. Oxford University made it very clear to the public it was not our decision. I don't know who they're trying to keep sweet, but they were like, it's not us, it was the students, they voted. I'm here to take it down. Like, you know what, the monarchy, if I'm being honest, I don't like what they stand for. I've never really had much respect for them. I'm very much here for the bank holidays that they give us for no damn reason. Oh, is her birthday. Oh, she's been sat on that throne doing, you know, racist shit for 10 years, 15, 60 years. Let's have a street party and everyone is off work. I'm here for that shit. But the rest, no.
Be as racist as you want.
But can we have a 2-day bank holiday? What are you saying?
Yeah,
Lizzie,
exactly.
What are you saying?
Makes up for it.
Cool. Wicked. Let's go, Spoons.
But who are we going to replace with the Queen then? Beyonce?
Sharifa, no, but for real, we've not really met in real life yet. We need to meet, because I was literally going to say the real Queen, Beyonce Giselle Knowles-Carter. just sat.
Of course.
Because she doesn't even need to do a photo shoot. She could just use, do you remember the Mrs.
She could just use, yeah, she could just use her whole repertoire of photos.
But do you remember the promo for the Mrs. Carter World Tour where she literally had on the doing real queen shit. I said, you're coming for Lizzie's job.
She's always doing real queen shit, and this is why we love her.
That would be tremendous.
I cried the whole time.
I wonder how Queen Lizzie really be feeling, because there's lots of removing of statues, removing her portrait, all this talk about dethrone the monarchy. I hope she's in therapy.
She cares. You don't think she cares? Just trying to, no, I think she's just busy taking those life prolonging pills that she must take every day. She's awesome. Like 1,000 years old.
I mean, she looked good though, better than her husband looked. That husband, I mean, God rest. I'm not speaking ill of the dead. I'm speaking facts on the dead. And he wasn't looking too perky.
He didn't.
25 years.
He did not take his pills. That's for sure. Ooh. But it's funny you say that about the monarchy. I don't think you're the only person that feels that way.
No. Let's be honest. Not. So many. But it's such a new thing. The last 3 years, especially the last 7 months. I feel like this country, except for the old racists and a few people who aren't really clued up about the thing, are just like, no, let's keep them. But I really feel like 60% of the population are kind of over it right now, especially in our generation.
Well, even Harry ditched, didn't he? He was just like,
Harry Banks with his black girl and said, I'm going to California. I am going to California. Strip me of my duties.
Like, mental health documentaries with Oprah. It's fabulous. Have you seen it?
Here for it. So here for it.
So here for it.
Yeah, but man.
Interesting thought around the Queen. I am obsessed with this platform. They're called the School of Life, and they're ran by, they're founded by this kind of philosopher and author called Alain de Botton. And he said in one of his talks that no one is jealous of the Queen, because you know how jealousy is like, you kind of get jealous of people that are similar to you. Like, I might be jealous of someone who's like my age and mixed race and has Afro hair.
Yeah.
You might be jealous of someone who's your age and gorge and doing podcasts and, you know, all the things that you do. Went to Brit school. But no one's jealous of the Queen because she's just too weird. Like, unrelatable. She has everything, right?
Yeah.
So technically we should be jealous of her, but we're not, because she is the most unrelatable person in the world, right? Like, she just has, like, who? I didn't even want what the Queen has, because it looks like...
I don't want a nigga that looks like Philip.
No, exactly. You would...
I don't care how many acres he got. I don't care how many inches he got. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Spend a day at the Playboy Mansion and I'm sure there'll be a few takers there.
Facts. So, Drake and Shenseea. Have you heard of Shenseea? So she's a Caribbean artist who is a part of the LGBTQ community in all of her videos, which is rare for like a Jamaican, you know, I think she's Jamaican.
Very
anyway.
Rare.
All rare. In the bed kissing girls. And I thought she was just that. But it's also been leaked now that her and Drake, you know, did a couple things last year. She's saying she's pregnant by 3 months. He's saying that's not true because we use two forms of protection. I'm assuming pulling out a condom, or maybe a condom and a pill. Woo! I don't know. Anyway, she's saying...
I sense a DNA test.
Yeah, I do too. But she's already saying, I've spoken to my lawyer and I know she's got the best Kingston can provide. And she said, I'm coming for you. Like, I'm coming for all the coins. Because you're a Jafakan. You XYZ. Yes.
She's called him a Jafakan. She's going to be such a rich baby mama. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she's already really quite successful. Like, she tried to say, she's doing this
so
to get somewhere.
She doesn't even need the money.
She was like, because Drake was like, she's doing this to chase clout. And what she said, I think it was on Instagram or Twitter, one of the two. She said, you know, I've got millions of fans, which she does. Millions of fans. I don't need your money or your coin, but like, basically you're going to pay for this.
And are all her fans on her side, or are they, what does everyone think? What's the general consensus?
I can only assume Drake fans are just going to be like,
calling her a gold digger.
Probably. But then because I feel like the two fan bases kind of may merge a little bit, like a tiny bit. Like they're both like, it's not like he, you know, he's got Kylie Minogue saying, you got me pregnant, I'm going to whatever. Yeah. Like there's There's not that much of a shift.
She's not going to get more followers for that.
She knows what I mean. But that would be
unless
some
she gets
tea, though.
Another one of those silk scarves and starts doing more of that.
But that really would be some tea. But no, yeah. So she does like R&B commercial bashment or whatever. And then he does, well, Jamaican hip hop, British. He is merging very much. Anyway.
I want to see the Kylie Drake baby now.
Yeah, I put that in there. I'm like, imagine that would be, and I can actually see it. Same way I see Adele with her black men's.
Yes,
very much cute. You know, cool. I could very much see Kylie being very much Kylie, but with a hood ass Drake.
Of course,
opening the door, or maybe she'll be opening the door for him. About, come on, Drake.
Yeah, she's a bit
So BET. Have presented a new show called Encore. So it's a new show where they're basically putting a new girl band together to create the super group using old girl group members. So they've got Shamari DeVoe from Black, Irish Grinstead from 702, Lamisha Grinstead from 702, don't know. Nivea Nash and Felicia King from Cherish. Now, I know Cherish. Do you remember Cherish? I'm feeling really unappreciated. You're taking my love for granted, babe. And I don't know how much more I can take from you. You don't do the things you used to do. Yeah. Otherwise, they did. Hey, 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 hey. Do it, do it, do it, do it. You know the world be rocking to it. So do it. Come on, Cherish, yeah. Then Pamela Long from Total, don't know her. Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane, you gotta know Danity Kane.
No idea.
Showstopping. Aubrey, she did British actually, British Big Brother, a couple years back.
Oh, I love British Big Brother. I still love it. I mean, it's gone down the pan a bit in the recent
celebrity
years,
one, obviously. And then Keely Williams from 3LW. You must remember 3LW with the girl from Cheetah Girls in it. I'm getting a little tired of your broken promises. Looking at your page, you see them different numbers. Call you when you're Sally hanging with the fellas. You do or you don't. You will or you won't.
I'm just going to try and sing
no
it off,
more.
No idea.
No more? Why? Okay.
I feel like I lived under a rock.
You see, you in Norwich, though, maybe it went banging there.
Honestly.
But they would have been playing it when you went to heaven, though, depending on what room you was in.
And also, would I have remembered? I don't know. These were some wild times when I was 14.
But definitely, I'm interested in Keely Williams, the one from 3LW, Aubrey, and then the two girls from Cherish. Already there's been lots and lots of drama in the house with, you know, the girls being like, well, I don't know who you are. Like, who were you? And they're like, oh, you don't know me. I've done this. I've done that. It looks good. Obviously, they've all changed because of time and the pandemic. I recommend watching it. It's not in British TV yet, so it's an online thing. But go watch that. Be here. Enjoy. Looks
so
fun.
All of them in one group?
Yes. I don't know. Obviously, someone's going to leave. I can already sense someone's going to walk out. But
they have great names, though. I feel like
they
it
do.
Sounds like a super group. Yeah.
It looks like it very much looks like entertainment. The clips that I've seen, but let's bring that to a close. And the last thing I want to bring up in Miles Measures, because we're already like going over time, but whatever. What time do you need to leave, babes? And I can take this. It's fine.
I have 10. I need to do this self tape. So I've got like 15.
Okay, we'll be quick. Lastly, I was going to make this my belt, but, you know, I thought, seeing as I've got a mental health activist, instead of me just giving this person the belt, let's make it a discussion. So a few days ago in a national flight from LA to Atlanta on a Delta airline, I think it was a gentleman. Whilst the plane was, you know, full plane, was in mid-air, decided now was the time for him to end his life. And he ran to the door and was going to open the door on the plane. And, you know, I said, so long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye forever. And that was it. The passengers on that plane, rightfully so, were like, no, what are you doing? Like, oh my God. And like about four or five different people had to like restrain him and restrain him. And you know, there's been, this isn't the first time that someone's done this on an airplane. Now, I was gonna give this gentleman, you know, the belt and just say like, yes, fair enough. Mental health issues are mental health issues. But if you planned to take your life on that, on like on that in that way, again, see, I got to be, I ain't gonna be careful. I'm gonna just say it how I say it. Listen, this is a safe space, whatever. Like, I grew up thinking if you commit suicide, you're selfish. And I've since learned that, you know, mental health does come into it and you don't be thinking about like your family or the effects of it. But to get on a flight with families and children and people just trying to go about their day and cause them, we're not even now thinking, oh, don't kill yourself at home because your mum's going to be sad and your brothers and sisters and your friends and, but actually on a flight where it will directly, where you could potentially kill everyone on that plane, I was ready to give him the belt because how are you gonna, like, they had to, they, the worst case scenario would have been, you know, people were swept out because of what happens with the winds, like swept out with him, or the plane could have crashed. Like, for me, that's that is selfish now. And I was almost finna say, you know, if you're gonna kill yourself, I don't want you to kill yourself. Don't, like, don't do that. There's help out there. Speak to someone if you can. Like, don't kill yourself. But if that's what you really said I'm going to do, do it at home. In the comfort of your own home. Children don't need that trauma. People don't need to be late for their business meetings. People don't need to die because you are unstable. Like, for me, I was very much just going to give him the belt. But I thought, you know what? We got Sharifa J on here. Let's have a conversation. Because normally you give your belt and it's done. You step away, you leave it, you've done your beat, it's done. But I thought, let's have a little conversation. Now, would I have been right to give this gentleman the belt for wanting to take everybody out on that plane with him? All the little children crying in the back, now scarred for life. Like, would I have been in my right to give him the belt? Or are we still giving, you know, no, we got to understand. Because I'd be feeling the same way about people that jump on the train rats too, and I've got to do my day. But that doesn't, that's so, not risking my life. But doing it on a plane, whoa.
I think to unpack this, we have to really understand mental health and try and put it on the same footing as physical health for a second.
Yes.
And I think this, I can understand where you're coming from, but I think it's also very representative of, as you even said yourself, as people thinking that mental health is a choice. Mm-hmm. So when you say for him to have made that conscious decision to get on the plane and children and families were there, and then he opens the door and people had to restrain him, other people could have been swept out. Well, that to me is a person who is not even thinking, yes, they in one part of their brain were thinking, I'm going to get on this plane. A person that thinks irrationally and is dealing with such a mental health crisis that they think that is rational, is that a rational person? Is that a person who is in their right mind? Is that a person who is mentally stable? No, because a person who is mentally stable would say to themselves, I am probably not going to get on this plane because I could harm other people. Children could be hurt. These things could happen. But that is the whole thing about mental health. It hijacks you. Mental illness and mental health hijacks your rational thinking, and it makes you do things that, and I've seen this happen. A very, very close friend of mine, which of course I won't name, who I've known since I was very young, probably 2/3 of my life we've been friends for, he's like a brother to me. And about 5 years ago he was diagnosed with bipolar affective disorder. And he was institutionalized, he was sectioned under the Mental Health Act, and I watched the person that I have known my whole entire life, I watched his personality disintegrate from something I recognized into something I had never experienced. And he is was a very non-violent, very compassionate, very selfless, very kind, had lots of friends, was really very popular, gregarious, talented, successful kind of person and was doing extremely well in his career and his industry until bipolar took over. Yeah. And he now, what you see today is not what you would have seen 5 years ago. Mm. And I no longer recognize the same person in him. And it's not because he's had no autonomy over that. That is mental illness. That is what mental illness does. In the same way that you break a leg and you cannot use that leg, you cannot walk on that leg because that leg is broken.
This happens in the mind.
And that is where we need to remind ourselves that when people, this is going to be a hugely unpopular opinion, but I'm sure there will be.
I'm going to say next is going to be very unpopular.
Okay.
So well, you go, I'll go first.
Yeah. And there you go. But this is why you hear stories of medical professionals, helping paedophiles and murderers and people who have done awful, awful things, things that are unthinkable and out of certain situations because they recognize that perhaps mental illness has done this to them. And, you know, that would be, that's a bigger, much bigger topic. And I'm not saying that I'm of that opinion. But mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that compassion and empathy and understanding are key when it comes to mental health. Because until we need to move into that space where people understand that there is no health without mental health. Mm-hmm. And dealing with those emotional issues, if someone is about to take their own life, do you really think that they are considering the impact it's going to have on other people?
Well, because this is what I mean. This is what I mean.
Regardless of how they do it.
What I was going to say then is essentially, are we then treating this person? What you said just then kind of connects greatly to what I was going to say next, which is this that person to me then is exactly the same as a suicide bomber? They very much know that they're going to take their life, and when they take their life, potentially many other people are going to go too. Is that not, for me, my energy to the suicide bomber and the man jumping out the plane is very much the same. You clearly aren't both thinking right. And if I was to catch you in the moment and say, you know, when you open this door and jump, people here could die. Or when you push that button and go-do-do-do, people could die. They're both going to be like, yes. Whether they say it in floods of tears or irrationally or whatever. And I feel like both of them will be suffering from mental health issues. But to me, yeah. I see that as the same thing. Of course,
I see your perspective.
Removing religion from it, because
I will then take this one step further.
Come on! Yeah, I'm going to have to get you back on this, because normally people shy away from me. And they're like, oh, no.
I'll take this one step further. And I would say, okay, let's think about the decisions that people make on a daily basis, all of us make mm-hmm. on a daily basis, which impact one another. For example, let's talk about the vaccine for a second. Let's talk about people understanding what it means to get a vaccine or to not get a vaccine in the middle of a global pandemic where people mm-hmm. are dying everywhere, where children are starving, where mm-hmm. food insecurity has increased by 1.5% in the UK alone, mm-hmm. Amongst suicides, which have still not been reported on the numbers yet, but there's mm-hmm. been an increase in calls to mental health charities yep. by, I don't know the exact statistic offhand, but it's huge. And so my thing would be, we all make a lot of decisions, more radical than others, but day to day they impact one another. And the vaccine being one of them. This comes back to what I was saying earlier, is we don't tend to act as one. I think human nature has become incredibly selfish. And because of this selfishness, this capitalism, that narrative I hear a lot, my body, my choice. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the vaccine, I do understand people feeling not wanting to take the vaccine, but also remembering that we live in a society. And when we live in a society, it has to function as a unit for us to be able to mm-hmm. survive. And when people don't have vaccines, people die. Vulnerable people die when others don't get vaccinated. And that is the science, and that is the fact, and the science that everyone denies. And this will be a hugely unpopular opinion for so many.
Yeah, it's a whole great area, because I was anti it, and now I'm like, oh, don't really trust it, but fuck it, let me do it then. I've got uncles that are very much, you know,
let me tell you,
black uncles very much, all the conspiracy and the this and the this.
Of course, but let's think about all the things people put into their bodies every single day.
Well, this is what I said, when I had syphilis, bitch, I got the two injections in my ass. I ain't asked one question what was in that motherfucker.
You'll be popping that aspirin when you've got a headache. You'll be taking that paracetamol. You'll be rubbing creams. Birth control pills when you want to have all the sex, live your best life. I'll be with my vibrator.
Listen, me and my preps every day.
You'll be throwing that coil in your body. You will be eating that Haribo, which has over 36 chemicals
in it. What is that? I don't eat Haribo. I ain't never eaten sweets. That's not my thing.
Well, there we go.
Chocolate,
yes. If you're not doing that, you'll be smoking a cigarette. You'll be drinking alcohol. You'll be eating foods full of pesticides.
Drag me.
You will be cooking on your tea foul pan, which has teeny tiny microplastics, which are proven to decrease fertility. And we have a huge issue where fertility rates are rapidly dropping. This is science, you can look it up, rapidly dropping. And that is the next issue we're facing beyond antibiotic resistance, which comes from us eating too much meat. We are then facing microplastics, making our population die down simply because people can't get pregnant in the same way, and it's affecting men and it's affecting women. So let me tell you something, you're worried about a vaccine, it's time to do your research and understand what is actually harming you. And what's killing people is a pandemic. It's not just killing people because of catching coronavirus, it's catching coronavirus, it's isolation, it's job loss, it's extreme stress, it's I had a girl message me on Instagram saying that she hadn't left her house for 10 months and that she was spraying Dettol in her hair because was so afraid.
Paranoid.
Not paranoid. She was seriously ill. She had an autoimmune disease. If she catches the coronavirus, she would die. And she was so afraid to leave the house that she stayed at home by herself spraying Dettol in her hair. So you tell me something. But my body, my choice. What about those people?
Yeah.
So my thing is, people make awful decisions every day. But what is more insidious is the decisions that people make on a day-to-day basis that affects us all, but they don't realise. So we can look at the suicide bomber. We can look at the radical person jumping out of the plane. But we could also look at ourselves.
That is definitely a word. And I feel like we could go on, but, you know, time. I need you back on this show. And that's on period. That's for sure. So I want to quickly to round that off and to go back
to this guy.
You on the flight with this man, you potentially could die. You one of the people that, you know, get restraining him. You kind of went out the door, but then came back in and you were safe. Are you throwing hands or are you giving this man a hug?
Or are you just putting him in this seat,
you know, like how you know when your mum is teaching you a lesson for like doing something weird and she puts you in the seat. Like she's doing it because she loves you, but she's like, shit, you down, sit down.
I'd be that one. I'd be pushing him in the chair, strapping him down, and then I'd probably bring him a cup of English breakfast tea to cheer him up.
Love that. Right, so with the little time we've got left, we're going to have a little quick discussion about pride and what it is to be an ally. And then we've obviously got the Get the Belt section. So, happy Pride Month, first and foremost. Happy Pride Month.
That's not for me. That was for everyone else. But I was like, yes.
So, like, to be an ally, like, what does that mean to you?
To be an ally,
specifically to the LGBTQ community plus and Pride, obviously.
To be an ally to the community for me is educating yourself. I think that's a huge one. Educating yourself and staying up to date, which is elevating voices, and by that I mean like. You know, if you're on an Instagram page, like an LGBTQ,
LGBTQDL
LGBTQDL
stands for download, by the way.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. If you're on an LGBTQDL plus page, mm-hmm. and you've heard something that one of the members has posted, and it's really like, wow, like that's opened my eyes to they them pronouns, or that's opened my eyes to HIV conversation, or it's opened my eyes to whatever it might be, and you have found that really interesting, hit that share button on your Instagram and share that to your followers. Even if you think it's not going to match your feed, even if you think maybe it'll upset somebody, share it. Share the experience. Share the conversation, because that's the only way the community will reach further than its own community is if people from other communities take an interest, a genuine interest, without judgment, to just say, okay, maybe I don't understand this, but what is this, and why do I need to understand it? And I think we might not always understand why people make some of the choices that they do, but the thing that we can do is listen. And I really liked that during the Black Lives Matter period. And when I say that as a period, I think we all remember that time.
Yeah.
When the awful events happened, where George Floyd sadly died, or was killed, and we remember that period of the marching and the you know, everyone coming together. So that's what I'm referring to when I say the Black Lives Matter period. That online saying of listen and learn. Everyone just listen and learn. I kept hearing that so much, and I thought that can be applied to so much in life, not just that period, but but also any marginalized, underrepresented community that needs to be heard. The voices need to be heard, and it's for good reason. So I would just say listen and learn, share, elevate, but I would also say be open-minded and try as best as you can to think of it as other. I think we have a tendency to put certain people in boxes in our minds, like, okay, here's what I'm going to expect of a trans person. They're going to have a certain type of contouring makeup, maybe they're going to be flamboyant, maybe they're going to fit into every stereotype that we've seen in the media and in film and in TV. Maybe they're going to fit into all these stereotypes because that's all we have of it. Try and break that idea in your head, because there is no one look of a gay person or a lesbian person or a trans person or a person with they them pronouns. Like it is everybody and anybody, and there is no rule to it. And I think it's just important to remember that, you know, we are all just people. Like so I mean, that's kind of what I would say. And I would also say in some ways, getting involved in Pride in a way that is, I think it's quite hard with Pride, because there's a lot of that kind of rainbow washing from brands.
I mean, we was going to get right onto that. But before we do, I would like to ask you, so obviously in your Instagram bio, you've got the LGBTQDL flag. Why is that? Because that's what led me to think, oh, okay, she's, you know, part of the community.
I guess it's like in my bio, I think it's funny because you look at my bio and it's a bunch of emojis and a few words, but I spend hours on my bio. I've spent hours like rewording and moving around and shuffling my bio so people can get what I'm about. And the first thing you've got there is hashtag BLM. So I think that just goes to show that I will always believe that Black Lives Matter, of course, as I think we all should. But next to that, I just wanted to put the flag and the hashtag, because I think it may not show up on my feed. You look at my feed and you see a plus size model with afro hair. I'm probably talking mostly about body positivity or things I've traditionally spoken about. But if you go into my stories, which I'm very active on my stories, you know, but the thing about stories is they're 24 hours, aren't they? And I need to
I love my stories. I've been living vicariously.
I love my stories.
There's just no pressure.
Yeah, there's no pressure, but also like I love it because it's kind of a flow of thoughts, and I tend to share a lot of content and of LGBT content, but I don't actually create as much as I'd like to, and I should work on changing.
Well, you are today.
Yeah, yes. I think the reason why is because when you don't feel actively involved in a community, I think it's quite difficult to know what to share in the right way. But, you know, I'm thinking about buying some cool, like, some, like, you know, colourful underwear and doing, like, a little... raise the flag, you know, something like that, just to show my solidarity. But I guess I want that in my bio so people can see that through and through, I support that. I always will. I always have. I always will. That will never change. And I think that is also a time for me to figure out ways that I can incorporate it more into my static feed so people can also see that represented. But until it's in my static feed, it's in the bio so people know it's there.
Yeah, I love that. I really do. And I wish more straight people did things like that, you know, because you've got many, many, many white people with Black Lives Matter in their, you know, bios and stuff.
Which is
But
great
we don't
to see.
Really see many straight people with... you're the first straight person I've seen ever with the LGBTQ flag in their bio that's not a part of the community.
Seriously?
Very much so.
Yep. Oh my God.
Which is why I just assumed, okay, so she gay, lesbian, DL, bi, one of the things. And the gag is, the girl's straight. So.
Okay.
In being an ally.
So
then,
is that why I'm still single? Because I'm giving off lesbian energy online?
Well, this is the thing. You weren't giving me lesbian energy because you removed that flag and I just thought I would have just presumed you were straight, which I shouldn't do because you could be anything. But the rainbow flag, because I don't just see that my community supported and like that from heterosexual people online permanently, because you very much had that flag before Pride Month, let me add.
Yes.
So that's why I thought, okay, she just is, but no. You did give some, you know, what it means to you to be an ally, but I want you to give, you know, three tips or three do's of being an ally, what you can do, not just in Pride Month, but just throughout the year. Like, you already said one thing about sharing their content. What two more would you say?
Okay.
Responsibilities of an ally.
These are fairly simple for me, I think. I guess it's a second part of getting educated. And I think that's educating yourself on the terminology, but also pulling people up on terminology. For example, and I think this is a funny one because two of my really close gay friends, they very often use this term. They say, oh, that's so gay. You know, they'll say that as a term.
I'd be saying that sometimes. It's bad. Yeah. I need to stop.
and I think it's funny because I think also it's a bit of a generational thing. Like, yes. I grew up with people saying that. I also grew up in a racist, homophobic town. So that's probably part of it. But that, you know, they say that and they are two gay men. However, I think widely it's not really that accepted. Using it as a derogatory term is not a good idea, obviously. So when a lot of my friends will kind of say it, and every time I will correct them, and every time they will roll their eyes, and every time I will become unpopular for 5 minutes while they're seething about the fact that I corrected them. But I will always do that, and I will continue to do that, because I think it's important to embed that in people's minds that being gay is not a bad thing. So by us saying, oh, that's so gay, what are we saying? You know?
Yeah.
What are we actually putting out there? In exactly the same way that people, ableism, when people say, oh, that's retarded, you know, I used to hear that a lot. Or, you know, or you're spastic, like, you just hear those things very often. And just, I'm not condoning these things, of course, I'm just giving examples. Again, these are things that we have to pull people up on. And yes, maybe that makes people feel like they're moving into a more PC world, but also we have to evolve. And we can't live in that. We're not prehistoric cave people brushing our teeth with pieces of straw. You know, we move on. Right. We have Colgate now. So, so, you know, I think educate on aside educating, also educating your community around that. In a way that you can still keep your friends. And was it a third one you wanted?
Yes. So how
to be an ally. The third, I feel like I gave so many.
Yeah, you said about researching your own stuff, being prepared to learn and pulling up your friend. So you gave us a good three.
Did I?
You gave us a good three. So now I'm going to ask for three don'ts. What do you not do as an ally? Because there are some allies out here that think they do nice things and then they're not.
No, I have a three. I think I have a third.
Okay, let's go.
I think, and this is, I can't speak for people in the LGBT community, but from everything I've heard over the years, I think I always hear about ask questions. If you're not in the community and you're confused about something, or like, for example, they, them pronouns, that's quite a new concept for people to understand. A lot of people are confused. So I've just heard people saying,
struggle with it.
Yeah. Ask
because my parents really would be, you know, anal about grammar and things. You know, there's sometimes when you put the word they in a sentence, grammatically for me, I find myself twitching. I'm like, I feel like I'm not speaking properly.
Yes, exactly.
But that's the way life is now.
exactly. And the thing about language is, the beautiful thing about language is that it evolves. It's designed to change. We created words. We can change words. And language is always evolving. So it's important that it evolves with the times. So that would be my third one. Be curious, ask questions. And there's a bit of play on words there, but
be curious.
Don't be ignorant. And don't expect someone to educate you. Do your education. But if you're in a situation where something pops up and, you know, you actually really want to ask that question, find a polite, respectful way and be very considerate and be very careful and be very aware that you might get punched in the face to say, I'm sorry, what is your pronoun? I'm sure, and I can't speak for anyone because my pronoun is she, her, but I'm sure that anyone who does identify differently would be happy to say, oh, thank you for asking. 100%.
Like, it doesn't equate, well, it kind of is because it's how I identify. Like, my name is Miles. Yeah, my name is Miles. And you spell that name M-Y-L-E-S. Do you know how many times I've said my name and people write down M-I-L-E-S? I'm not a form of measurement. That is not my name. That's not me. That's not how I identify. And on the odd occasion, I have someone come to me, by the way, is that an M or an I? I'm like, you know what? Thank you. And I say every time, I say, thank you so much for asking.
Yeah,
because people just assume.
That's
and
it.
The majority of the time, they're wrong. And I've
and it's
that's
more
how they,
offensive.
They
it's
and
the
them
same
think.
For me. I've been called Shakira, Sharonda, Shaquande, Shadarifa. I'm like, stop it. It's Sharifa. It's
just
so easy.
Just ask my name.
Just exactly. Ask. And if you don't, just assume. And don't put it in an email. And I've just signed my name, Sharifa.
And come back. I've had that in an email where they be putting, I'm like, best wishes, Miles Hart with a Y. Huh, nice to hear from you, Miles, with an I. I'm thinking, did you not? Wait,
and a Z and a smiley face. What the fuck? Yeah, so exactly, right? So I think ask questions and be curious. That'd be my third one. And the don'ts.
And three don'ts.
Yeah. Okay, so don't assume.
What does not make you an ally? Okay, yeah.
What does not make you an ally?
Yeah.
What does not make you an ally? Doing anything homophobic or transphobic or anything really that you might have been taught, like, just unlearn those beliefs and just have an open mind. So don't do any of that.
Don't do any of that. That's a good place to start. Don't get involved
in any hate speech or even something. Don't laugh along with a joke. Don't laugh along. It's not funny, actually. And a lot of people will be hurt by that. And you can say, oh, it's just a joke as much as you want. As soon as it comes back on you and your community, you won't be finding it very funny, right?
Facts.
Nobody jokes about cancer. Why does nobody joke about cancer? Because it's not funny and everyone understands it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something that we joke about. And everyone knows that. Why are we joking about Black people? Why are we joking about Asian people? Why are we joking about LGBT people? Why? Because you think it's funny, but actually we don't think we're funny unless we made the joke ourselves.
Exactly.
And I think that's the same could probably be said for people within that community. So I guess only laugh along if the person from that community
made the joke. Fact.
Yeah. Then you're laughing with, not at.
So you got one more.
I've got one more. Don't. Oh, okay. This is going to be a tricky one because I think it's important to recognize it, but I also think in another way it could be helpful. Mm-hmm. Don't support rainbow washing, but don't congratulate brands who stick up their beautiful flag every month, every, you know,
June.
For a week mm-hmm. of the month, and but don't buy all their stuff if they are not supporting it for other parts of the year. There are loads of brands who actually have that, who actually support the community throughout the year.
Yes.
Like, I think it's Kurt Geiger. Kurt Geiger is like, they always like talking about the rainbow. And, you know, there's lots of brands that do it more than once. Don't just jump to the first brand that's selling you something. Like, do a tiny bit of research first. Don't congratulate them on that tokenism, because by congratulating them on that, they're going to keep doing it and they're going to think it's acceptable. And I think we need to demand a little bit more representation. If they're going to profit, then the community has to profit. Or brands, amazing brands who might be doing it for 1 month of the year, but are actually giving something back to the community. Mm-hmm. For example, like Sweaty Betty's whole collection that they created. It's like, I don't remember how much the profits, but a lot of the profits go back into the LGBT community.
Yeah. So, and what have you learned since being the ally that you are?
The biggest thing that I've learned is that stereotypes are so wrong.
Like,
stereotypes are literally ridiculous caricatures of people, and it is just not representative of anybody ever. So do not believe the stereotypes. Open your mind. Mm.
So what does pride mean to you, being a straight woman?
Pride means to me, being a straight woman, it's a time where I can be with the people I love the most. And so many of those people I love are gay men and gay women and people who in the LG, I'm shortening it now. I'm just like L.
In the L community.
In the L community.
In the alphabet zoo.
We're running out of time. The community, it's a time when I can just celebrate, like, celebrate with them, like, stand, help them stand up for what they believe in, what I believe in. I mean, I've been drunk a lot of times.
Fact, me too,
Pride,
yeah.
And they were some of the best times, you know. And so for me, it's actually a time of education, a time of celebration. But particularly celebration, I would say, for me and my friends anyway.
And lastly, to the straight people, if there are some straight people listening to this, that are scared to go to Pride, because I had a conversation with my cousin who's straight. He's like, oh, I don't need to really be there. And I was like, well, my cousin's Nigerian, born and bred. And I was like, okay, well, what would you say to, you know, white people that were like, oh, I don't really need to be at the Black Lives Matter protests? And, you know, it's like, that's facts. What would you say to the men that didn't want to go and march with the women for women's rights, you know? Like, what about adults mm-hmm. that didn't go to the march about child molestation? Like, you don't have to be a part of that community that are asking for help and recognition. So what is your message to straight people that are like, ooh, I don't know, I don't want to leave with the homosexual spirit on my shoulder, or I don't want to, you know, or I'm scared, or oh, it's not for me. What's your message to them about this year Pride?
Oh, my message is very simple. Go into any drawer, find yourself a mirror and hold it up in front of your face and ask yourself the question, what is that? what is that? Where does that come from? And what work do I need to do around that? If I'm feeling this way, that comes from somewhere. So unpack it, unpick it. And
I feel like it's probably because they probably will feel a bit too welcome in the community. Maybe they feel like they'll feel quiet at home. On that note, it's time for us to get into the section you've all been waiting for. It's time for Get the Belt. So who wants to go first? Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Because I've let you go first every single time.
Yeah, because I'm the guest.
Because you're the
guest. So that's how it goes.
Right. So
I'm a lady.
My belt goes to a lady by the name of Julie Burchill, who was rightfully sacked, I think it was last week, for tweeting. She's a journalist, for tweeting something along the lines of, she tweeted something to Meghan and Harry when they named their daughter, said what, and she said, what a missed opportunity. They could have called it Georgina Floydina. I'm so glad that she got sacked. And she is getting my belt this week because that was so insensitive. It the whole thing was marinated in racism and hate. For a journalist that had been in the industry for that fucking long, you should have known so much better. She had the audacity to go onto another publication and say, oh, they always said I was a bit too much or whatever. Well, they were fucking right. They were fucking right. Especially like not even a month after the passing of George, you're now making a mockery of his name and using Prince Harry and Harry and Meghan's daughter as clickbait. I think it's wrong. I think you're twisted in the head, and there's really, really these days no excuse. We've had a year of people putting out information. Sharifa over here has put out shit on her page. I've put out so much and done a podcast about it last week, and there are thousands of people globally and on the internet helping to educate you, and a lot of us doing it actually for free, a lot of us. And you are still, I'm sorry, with that being said, there's no excuse for you to be working in the press to put a tweet out like that. You get my belt in its entirety. I hope your food continues to stay as unseasoned as ever. I hope you you have some learning. I hope you have lots of learning. And yeah, there's no I'm not really wishing you well right about now. I'm sorry, babes. Maybe in the future, but for now, you get nothing but my belt buckle.
Boom. See ya.
Yeah, that's me.
That's it.
That's my belt this week. I was going to give it to that man that was going to fly out the plane, but I thought, no, let's have a discussion and let me give it
to
Julie.
He's having a difficult time.
Julie's going to have a difficult time, and I hope she does.
And Julie could be having a difficult time. There's no need to be a bitch. Pardon me. Yeah, you know, I think there's different ways of doing it, isn't there?
Who does your belt go
okay,
to?
Okay, so actually, my belt is internet related as well. Come I through. Think it's not a specific person, but it's all of the people, every single person that goes on the on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever platform it is, and decides to hurl their inner thoughts and feelings and their abuse. And I'm not pointing at anyone specifically in the vegan community,
but
I will just say,
but point.
Many of the vegans, the angry vegans, they're not all angry. Some of them are very nice, but some of them are very scary. And one of them said, we should take human beings and we should put them into factory farms in the same way that we do to animals. And I'm like, okay. I get that animal cruelty is horrible.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a vegan, right? I get it. I'm with you. Let's not do that. But we're not thinking about it like that because that's murder and of humans. And, you know, don't say that murder of cows is any better, but it's not the same. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
So some people have a lot of things they need to be working on, and one of the things is just keeping their opinions to themselves. Like, if you have a horrible, grotesque thought that you know is a bit disturbed and it could probably potentially harm somebody else's mental health or make them feel afraid or anything like that, just don't say it. Just leave it in your brain. Doesn't need to be out there. We don't need to hear it. Yeah, that's it. So just a belt to the trolls. Any troll, goodbye.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to Get the Belt, Sharifa J. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. We spoke for way longer than intended. But you know what? It was a super dope conversation once again. I'm so glad to like be in this space with you. I loved you on Where Are We Now, the conversation on Instagram Live. But you know, having you on Get the Belt, where I was able to do my cussings and talk about the dicks and all the things. I mean, I'm loving power to the people, but like I really had to be on professional, you know, whereas here I'm professional, but very much my authentic self.
I love it. And I think you made me swear a lot. And at the end of this, I'm probably going to send you an email afterwards and be
don't
like,
put it out.
Miles with a Z smiley face, don't put it out. I can't. I spoke about the vaccines. But you know what? It is what it is. And I've had a great time. And it's nice to just let it all out.
Yes. Thank you so much, Colin. So do you have anything coming up that you want to tell us or share or like promote?
I've got lots of things coming up, but lots of pipeline things.
Okay.
You know, when everything's just in the pipeline. Yeah, and at the moment, I'm at a bit of a crossroads.
Come on, Beyonce.
Do I do that? The amazing thing is I have lots of decisions to make, and I didn't have that in the mid-pandemic, so that's awesome.
We love a black girl with decisions to make.
Right?
Yes.
I'll be running the marathon October the 3rd, woo! So watch out for that. I am potentially starting a project. Again, watch out for that. Oh. But you can follow me at Sharifa J, Sharifa _J.
That's SHAREEFA _J. With a blue tick at
yes.
the end.
Yes. No Z, no H, no nothing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to actually meeting you in real life and doing nice things.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning into this week's episode. I told you I'd make it up to you for missing last week. This was probably about 2.5 hours long. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate us on iTunes and share the podcast on your socials. My name is Miles Hart. I'm your host of the podcast that is home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts. You've been listening to Get the Belt.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.